Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is the Runner's World Podcast.
Welcome to the Runner's World Podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
This week, we're talking with Runner's World's John Carroll about the wonderful world of race excuses.
But we're talking specifically excuses for not running or poor running or just generally not behaving properly on the race or run.
Yeah.
It could be weather, gear, tech, shoe colour.
That's a very important
lace length.
Yes.
Far away natural disasters.
And we're also speaking with Tom Budgeon from Vegan Runners, who felt like last week's podcast about veganism was a bit one-sided.
So I think if I got a pound every time that I was asked, where did your protein come from, I'd be a very rich man. I could think I could give up my day job.
How are you, Ben?
Very well. How are you?
Very well. Very well. I was running on the weekend. I managed to do 12 miles on Sunday morning, actually.
Oh, well done.
I'm basically trying to turn urban routes into off-road routes.
I get it. Okay, yeah.
So I feel like we talked to a lot of, like, elite athletes, and they always say, actually, I only do like a small amount of my running on concrete or road.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, the average runner probably does 90% of their running on concrete.
Yeah.
So I thought, can I turn my, you know, would be concrete run into an off road run? It's possible.
Are you just like jumping onto the verge?
I'm not going into anyone's like gardens to do this.
Right.
But I think that, you know, if you're going in like a park, you see lots of people doing this, and you think, actually, you could turn this into an off-road run, but a lot of people just run on the concrete path in a park.
Yeah.
No need, Ben.
No,
go onto the grass if you like.
Where I used to live in North London, Clissold Park has a wonderful off-road loop around it, which is, you know, the park keepers themselves have sort of wood-chipped and all this sort of stuff.
Lovely.
So it's good.
You know. Seeking out some wildness in the urban landscape. Anyway, so there's a few newsy things we could quickly cover.
Okay.
So there are fresh questions over Mo Farah's relationship with his band former coach Alberto Salazar.
Mm.
And this was aired on BBC Panorama on Monday. So it actually be last night by the time this comes out. Yeah, it's called Mo Farah and the Salazar Scandal. And one of the key points of concern is about a legal supplement called L-carnitine.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a naturally occurring amino acid, but Salazar seems to believe that infusing or injecting his athletes could provide a performance boost.
Yeah, but he went vast levels, like normal occurring levels of whatever milligrams, and he went, well, let's make it big.
Although it's actually, it's allowed, but like you say, within the realms of kind of a respectable limit. A documentary shows that Farah repeatedly denied to US anti-doping investigators that he had received injections of L-carnitine before 2014 London Marathon. And there's a little transcript that says, US anti-dope said, are you sure that Alberto Salazar hasn't recommended that you take L-carnitine injections? And Mo said, no, I've never taken L-carnitine injections. However, he then changed his account, saying that he had, in fact, received injections but had forgotten about it.
Right.
So it's important to say that UK Athletics and Farah's lawyers have maintained that the injections were within the legal limit.
Right.
But some of the problems seem to be that, one, no record was ever made of these injections.
Yeah.
And two, Panorama obtained emails to show that UK Athletics officials were worried about these injections. Firstly, because they worried that they might not be safe. And secondly, whether they were actually within the spirit of the sport. So lots of questions about Salazar's influence over Mo and also his influence over UK Athletics.
Yeah, there was a recent, the former CEO maybe or someone, basically someone came out from UK Athletics and said that they had advised Mo back in 2015 to end
sort of cut ties.
Yeah, cut ties with Salazar. Which, you know, I think that it's kind of half news. Like everyone goes, well, yeah, obviously now. Sure, I get it. Mm. But I think it's quite interesting that from the top down, they were kind of concerned.
Concerns about it, yeah.
But then on the flip side of that, UK Athletics have deemed that nothing bad happened, right?
Yeah, we'll have to see where it goes. But yeah, it's kind of, it's gaining a bit of momentum, this. It'll be interesting to see where it ends up. Hey, quick question for you.
Go.
Tom Bosworth, the race walker,
yes,
set a new 5,000-metre race walk record, yes, at the National Indoor Championships in Glasgow.
Yes.
How quickly... So this is park run time, essentially, right? How quickly did he walk 5,000 metres?
See, now, you're trying to throw a curveball here, because I know these guys are rapid.
They are quick.
I'm going to say he did it. So the world record was just broken and under 13 minutes, and I reckon he speed walked. He speed walked 15-something.
15.
Yeah.
You just undermine the, you don't undermine the stat like that. It was 18 minutes, 20 seconds.
Absolutely.
Which is actually, despite your ridiculous guess, an incredibly quick time to walk. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, that is ludicrous.
Yeah, so Boswell said, I'm the happiest and healthiest I've ever been.
Good on him.
Good for him. Agreed.
18 minutes for a little, for a power walk.
Yeah.
It's good.
How is that even possible?
I don't know, but what's that like?
Like low sixes, basically.
Yeah, low 6-minute mileing.
Yeah. Madness.
Shuffle. Is it that? That's the speed walking is where you can't...
You can't be off the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you sort of that waddle.
It's the waddle.
It's the waddle.
Hey, talking about waddle, should we get our guest of the week off?
Yes!
Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown.
John Carroll, welcome to the Runner's World podcast. Great to have you back. Been a while, actually.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have me here.
So
sure. It is. Waddle and all.
Can you explain to us what you'll be thrilling us with this week?
We're going to talk about excuses.
Okay.
And we've all made them. Like your chambray shirt, for example, is a prime example of an excuse.
I thought this is denim.
No.
No? Okay.
But we're talking specifically excuses for not running or poor running or just generally not behaving properly on the race or run.
Yeah.
It could be weather, gear, tech, shoe colour.
That's a very important.
Lace length.
Yes.
Far away natural disasters. Anything at all.
Right.
We are masters of coming up with excuses, apart from Rick, who's more machine than man. But most of us...
Like an excuse.
Like a good excuse. But the thing about excuses is, it's got to be plausible or so implausible that it has to be true.
Okay.
Right.
Fine line.
So you couldn't make it up.
Just to give you a more general, hey, why are you late for work? A giant ape fell off a building and blocked traffic. Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Yeah.
Could work.
Sure. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Did you cheat on me? Why? Climate change. See, yeah. That's believable.
Yeah, true. Yeah, climate change is definitely the go-to reason for that.
So I have a number of excuses for almost every occasion. But what we also did was we put it out to our readers. Mm. And I think I'm an amateur compared with some of these guys.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm going to read out some. Some are fake. Some are mine. Some are theirs.
Okay.
You decide.
Okay, cool. All right. It's like a quiz.
Oh, yeah, I love a quiz.
It's a quiz.
Yes.
Same points for everything, no bonus round.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
My laces were too long, even with a triple knot. They kept flapping around like a bloodhound's ears and making this irritating tick-tick noise. Eventually, I stopped and ripped them out in a fury. But then my shoes were too loose, so I went home.
Oh, now.
True, false.
Or one of yours.
Real person.
I think...
The flapping around like a bloodhound makes me think you wrote it.
Doesn't make it untrue, though.
It's true.
I'm going to say that's true.
Yeah, because it would be really irritating.
Mm.
So I can imagine that if you weren't able to switch it off...
Yeah, and you just sort of like...
You'd get furious.
Kind of water torture kind of thing. Yeah.
True.
It's true.
Fantastic.
It's also elaborated somewhat, but it's true. And it's mine, and I've done it.
Really?
I've done it. Oh, yeah.
You ripped the laces out of your shoes?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
I'm not proud. Most days.
I think you
I'm
should
not
be.
Proud.
That's quite some strength.
All right, next one. Did a coastal half marathon in Pembroke as I thought it would be flat. After the third 1 in 5 hill, I was by some long way the last. I gave up and walked back, chatting to the attractive steward picking up the cones. At finish line, I put on a minor limp. Disgraceful. True, false, or real reader?
That's 100% real.
I'm just intrigued by how the attractiveness of the steward is relevant. But anyway,
so was he basically, he was limping because he didn't want to seem that was kind of like,
he just wasn't unfit.
I would have been winning.
This is correct, but there's a flaw in this excuse.
This is a real excuse.
It's a real excuse. Now, this is from someone called La Cotterelle on Facebook. Mm. You need to put the limp on earlier.
For sure.
If
you're talking to a steward, especially.
When you're with a steward, you need to maintain the limp. And then you need to maintain it for at least a week afterwards.
Yeah. And also, if you're going to go in on a limp, I think visit St. John's when you get to the finish line.
Oh, wow.
Really go all in.
Could you take a quick look? I'm not sure. It could be a stress fracture.
Almost kind of convince yourself. Yeah.
Psychotic.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well,
all right. Next one. I simply could not concentrate on my cadence today. Radio 4's puzzle for today problem really got to me this morning. And I ended up trying to tap out a long division problem using only my footfalls.
False. Gotta be false.
Totally false.
Yeah. Good excuse, though. Blinding excuse.
Also, I can't do maths, so I'd never do that. All right. Next. On a trail run, I thought I'd forgotten to lock the car, so that was niggling me a bit. Then I tripped on a route and fell flat on my face, so I thought, feck it, not the precise word used. Turned around and went back to my car.
True.
Yeah.
I also think that he probably ran faster because he thought his car was unlocked.
Yeah. Well, it's true, but I'd only accept that excuse if the car was gone.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
All right?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. We've all had the moment a few miles into a tough run. Did I leave the oven on?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Even if you haven't used the oven for a week.
It's still on.
It's still on somewhere.
Yeah.
Good. You guys are doing not too bad.
Okay.
All right.
My keys were jangling. Something terrible. Mm. I had to stop repeatedly, but no matter what I did, they just kept making noise, as if they were made of some kind of metal.
No, if that is absolutely not a reason to stop a run. I'm sorry. Like, you're carrying keys. There's an easy way to stop that. Put them in your hand.
Hold them tight.
Hold them in your hand.
And you have another excuse. I got sweaty hand key.
Key hands.
Key hands.
I think it sounds real, but I just don't accept that as a reason to stop. I think that's pretty... That's
it's quite weak.
Bad.
It's pretty lightweight. It's
Well, you'd never use it anyway, because you don't use it.
I haven't got keys.
You've got no keys. You've got no house.
Got a contactless house.
Yeah. It's fake, but keys have annoyed me.
Keys are annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keys have annoyed you.
Even keys annoy me.
That's the next week's podcast. Yeah.
Next one. Swallowed a fly. To be fair, it did actually happen and I had to stop and make myself sick.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you swallowed a fly, that wouldn't actually be too bad. But if it was to the point where you made yourself sick, I'd probably stop running.
Okay, it's a true one. It's from Bob Jack. And honestly, Jack, the fly was more frightened than you were. Yeah, but not for long, because the stomach acid would have, you know,
really
taken
it.
Care of that really
quite death.
Quickly.
It's quick death. Yeah.
All right. Right, I am so bored of my playlist. I cannot believe my Gregorian chant collection no longer inspires me.
Right.
Well, I think I'll have to move on to Now That's What I Call Colliery Music 12.
Right. So the first sentence of that is applicable. The rest is complete nonsense.
You mean you don't run to Gregorian chants?
That'd be awful. It's not the music to run to.
That's the speed I run to, I got to tell you.
But I think that's definitely that. I mean, music, if you're going to run with music and you realise that you've got a bad playlist or an old one that you've got really familiar with, that's very off-putting.
Yeah, I created this playlist at home once that was it was when I did the North Downs Way race.
John, has he ever mentioned that he did this North Downs Way?
It's every day.
Oh, right, good.
Every day.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, I love a bit of Neil Young. So I put, like, you know, like Heart of Gold and, like, Everybody Knows This Nowhere. And then I was like, I'll put Down by the River on. It's 18 minutes long or something. So it starts and I'm just like... Oh man, this is going to be miles of it.
Yeah. Well, it is for you. It's a mile for me.
So you got you don't want to get stuck in a song that's like, this isn't going anywhere for ages, and then you got to go into your pocket and press skip.
That's why I just don't run with music.
Yeah, fair enough.
Removes the excuse.
Except the songs in my head.
Yeah, all true.
It's lovely. Yeah. Let me give you a kind of a tricky one. Mm. This is from Mike Haynes. Heard my grandparents having sex on Saturday night.
Wow.
Still traumatised Sunday morning. I'm not even going to pretend that didn't happen. That clearly happened to this poor man.
And couldn't run?
Traumatised. So my advice, and I do offer advice to everybody, just don't listen. And also the thing is, I'd be traumatised too if my grandparents...
I'm traumatised by that story.
My grandparents are dead, so that would make it very creepy indeed.
Well, I guess, yeah, the hearing of your family, other family members in coitus.
It's never a good...
Uninterruptus.
probably wouldn't... It would make me leave the house very quickly.
Mm. Well, forever.
So maybe that, but not... Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. Yeah, okay, that's a reasonable excuse, yeah, because of his absurdity.
Let me throw one more at you, and then we'll move on to the next part of the topic. You might get this one, that, not necessarily mine. I'd had a cut and blow dry and wanted to look fabulous an extra day. Well, actually, it could be me, couldn't it?
Okay. 100%. That's very feasible. That's expensive. That's an expensive haircut. You don't want to waste your money.
That's Heidi Grimsdale, and Heidi, darling, I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to move on, aren't we, to our own best or worst excuses.
Indeed. Rick, start off. I'm not sure you even have one.
No, I do, actually. But mine takes the form of the preemptive excuse, right? So this is basically, it's an action done, probably in race week, that gives you a kind of easy out.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you're like, oh, well, I'll have a few pints now, and therefore I won't be able to run as quickly as I can. I won't try as hard as I can. So if you see me with a pint in my hand in race week, you can know with some certainty that I'm essentially creating the preemptive excuse.
A cushion.
I used to do this with... I used to do the cross-country circuit, which is really hard work anyway, and I was like... I think I tried fairly hard, and it was just... But the prospect of it in the sort of second year became a bit more like, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll just go out and have 3 or 4 pints. That way, even if I just get up and do it...
Well, the night before.
Yeah, that's success, isn't it? That's a version of success. And then I get to start, and I'll be like, it's remarkable that I'm here at all, really.
So your success is turning up.
Yeah, success becomes turning up, exactly. And it's that kind of, like, you... kind of dwindling of your ambition, I guess.
I think that would be the excuse. The preemptive excuse is definitely something that I've done before. I'm not really like a post-run excuse person.
That's,
I think, if it went wrong, it went wrong. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That's not really... I've had very, very bad races, which have just been my fault. So that's like, I can't really be like, ooh, my shoelaces.
That's a refreshing honesty.
But I definitely would preempt all running with some sort of reason, just in case.
Yeah, it's a kind of hedging. It's a kind of hedging of bets that goes on. But I've got a theory that, like, most races for me are just, it's kind of conveyor belts of excuses that I have to just reject, and they become more and more convincing. The harder it gets. Do you mean like, well, just get to that next guy, and then you can stop, You were feeling quite bad last week. Remember that. Maybe if you just rein it in a bit.
You've got to look after yourself. You've got another race coming up in 8 months' time that you need to be prepared for.
And I think success in racing is really down to just ignoring those excuses to say, no, rejected. And they become more and more compelling and louder in your ear. And then at the end, think, well, maybe I didn't try as hard as I might have done. Or I'm really glad I didn't listen to that voice.
I have made, as you've already heard, some terrible excuses, but I've also got the capacity to be extraordinarily blunt with myself and with others. I was in Brighton at the weekend with friends, and the wind was so strong, it took years off my face just by blowing into it, just pulling the wrinkles all the way back behind my head. And the rest of them wanted to do park run, and I said no.
Yeah.
And they said, come on, it'll be fun. No, it won't. And that was it.
Because of the weather?
I didn't want to go. I also had some pints the Friday night before.
Oh, but
I
think the preemptive excuse.
But you know what?
No, it wasn't even an excuse. I thoroughly enjoyed them.
But I feel like that's just a reason. It's not an excuse. Like, there's a thing of if you didn't want to do something, it's not a given that you should have joined in. So it's not an excuse.
No,
is it?
But you do. If you're among others who are, you know, the kind of people I'm talking about.
Runners.
Rick, for example, most days of the week in the office. It's only a minor flash flood. We'd pop out afterwards.
It's interesting to think where an excuse and a reason collide, where the actual...
Yeah.
Because you're right, there are absolutely legitimate reasons not to run, aren't there? For instance, I'm injured, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and those are the sort of the thing that... where we've talked about this previously, where sort of stuff gets the compulsion to be running all the time, and the sort of like appearing to be running and all of those sorts of... kind of excuses not to be doing it.
Yeah.
Kind of is more the sort of issue. Oh, I better do it because of this, or I better do it because of that, rather than I just don't want to today, Or, I mean, if you're in the middle of a training block, then it's different because you've got to be like, oh, actually, that's has to be done because I'm aiming to do something at the end of all of this for you know, an achievement. But if it's just the I've woken up and I'm in a location and my friends are doing it and I don't want to, that's a good reason.
It is a good reason. It just comes across as slightly churlish when I say it.
Well, I can imagine the delivery was no.
Most things come across slightly churlish when I say them. So, okay, so we've had our fun with the various excuses.
Absolutely, yeah.
But we are genuinely also interested in the psychology behind excuses and reasons for not running. So we spoke to sports psychologist Andy Lane, who said the following to us, quote, "We make excuses as a protection method. If we attribute poor performance to an unstable factor that is external to us, e.g. the opposition were lucky, we are saying to ourselves that if we had the luck, we would have won."
So essentially, instead of actually looking at the real reason behind our result, we say something like, oh, we were just a bit unlucky this time.
And it's out of my control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is when we talked about the... we had the sports psychologist on a previous...
Fear of failure.
The fear of failure.
Yes.
I forget his name. Yeah, the fear of failure, your protection. I mean, it's the moment you enter a race, you're immediately putting yourself in a vulnerable position, mm-hmm. either with a set goal or an ability question or all these sorts of things. So
sure.
The excuse side of stuff will always be there because you're kind of the fear of failure.
Yeah. It's like Rick's 3 or 4 pints. You know, you're setting yourself up.
It absolutely is that. It's
and you're protecting yourself.
Protecting yourself, saying, "Well, who knows what I would have done if I hadn't have had 3 or 4 pints?" You know, and it's and actually, so you kind of preserve this self confidence.
Yeah, and you'll never know because you do the same thing next time.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've changed. I'm a father now, John.
You are. Bless your child.
Right, on with the quote.
"However, an excuse might not let us learn from the performance. We can lose and put that down to ability, but not get down from that performance. If we say to ourselves, we are not there yet, but by doing X or Y, we will be closer. Or by recognising that our effort level was not as high as it could have been. Yes, we want to preserve self-belief, but building a better, stronger version of yourselves is a much better way to go about it."
Hmm.
Another good point.
A more mature kind of response to...
Well, you just got... It's being brutally honest with yourself, right?
Mm.
You've got to be, you know, if you can do a race covered by excuses, get a time that you're semi all right with and be like content, or you could try really hard and get a time that you're really not that happy with,
and then
have to deal with the fallout.
This is actually where I am.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Instead of being like, I reckon I'm a sub 40 kind of guy, but you know, I've had a couple of bad. Whereas actually, if you try really, really hard, no excuses, and you're a 43, then you've got 3 minutes of work to get on.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Who knows? The one thing you might learn from that performance is to make a better excuse.
John, absolutely great to have you on the Run As Well podcast.
A pleasure as always, gents.
We'd like to have you back in a few months' time, unless you come up with a good excuse not to.
This is the Run As Well podcast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So following on from last week's episode, a hot topic, veganism and running, we had lots of feedback. Great, some great, some not so great.
Yeah.
So we wanted to continue with the topic because we felt it was, you know, some people felt unrepresented and we don't want to offer a podcast that is like that. So we've organised to speak to Tom, who's a chairperson of Vegan Runners.
Yeah, Tom Budgeon, he emailed in and said that he felt that one of the things that was missing from last week was actually to hear from a vegan runner, which is totally reasonable.
100%. Yeah.
So he's gonna phone in, and we're gonna chat to Tom a little bit about getting the kind of vegan perspective. So people who have gone vegan and are running and are running well, and to hear some of his arguments for veganism.
Fantastic.
Tom, welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Hi there. Thank you very much for having me.
So let's start with then. How long have you been a vegan for, and also why did you choose to become a vegan in the first place?
So I've probably been about vegan for almost 2 years. Before that, I was a vegetarian, and I transitioned from being a veggie into a vegan. But the reason I think what gave me the final push is I was I'm a big fan of the David Attenborough documentaries.
Yeah,
and I was watching one of his the BBC's Planet Earth 2. And I remember thinking that, you know, the natural world is incredible and how much I loved animals. But then I had this kind of internal struggle dealing with this idea that I loved animals, but I was eating them at the same time. And it was that sort of uncomfortable realization that was enough to give me the push to stop consuming animal products.
No, absolutely. I think that a lot of people, sort of the from the reasons behind veganism and their choices to take up the diet is probably ethical or environmental or those sorts of things. But we wanted to sort of talk about it initially from a running point of view, if that's all right. And what's your experience been as a runner on a vegan diet?
Before I went vegan, I was a runner, so I'm an omnivore and I've run as a vegan. You know, I've been quite blessed, really, because since becoming vegan, I've absolutely smashed my PBs across 5Ks and 10Ks. When I was eating, an omnivorous diet, my 5K PB was like 27:58, and it's now down to 22:09.
Wow.
So, and my 10K PB was just a shade under an hour, and now I can do a 10K, and my PB is 46 minutes. So okay. I've seen, you know, phenomenal gains in terms of my speed and my fitness levels. But also my recovery time is much faster too. I just seem to have less inflammation and more energy to fuel my longer runs, which is great when you're training for things like half marathons, marathons and ultras as well.
I guess one of the topics we talked about last week was the kind of idea about how to get enough protein. Do you think that is a misconception about a vegan diet, that being that it is kind of protein deficient in some way?
Yeah, so I think if I got a pound every time that I was asked, where did your protein come from, I'd be a very rich man. I could think I could give up my day job. But, you know, it is a question that a lot of people ask, because I don't think there's enough understanding over where vegans do get their protein from. But I think we've got to remember here that all protein originates in plants. So you'll find that all vegetables have some sort of protein in them. And then, of course, you've got the really protein-rich foods like beans, seeds, lentils, tofu and tempeh. And those foods, you know, they provide more than enough protein. And, you know, just citing one of the studies that was present on the Game Changers from the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, saying that the average plant eater gets 70% more protein than they actually need. So even if you're athletic, you know, generally someone who would need more protein, actually you're still getting more than enough protein in a vegan diet to build and maintain your muscle mass.
Have you ever supplemented with your amino acids? Have you to sort of make sure that you're getting the complete range, or do you just do that through diet?
No, I just do it through diet, because I mean, we hear a lot about like plant protein being inferior, but I think that's a bit of a fallacy personally. I think that as long as all those essential amino acids are consumed, I think the sources are relevant, and I think there are enough studies out there to back that up as well.
We also talked about iron as well being a potentially problematic area for vegans,
sure.
And kind of getting enough B12 and iron. How do you go about solving this? Again, do you see this as a little bit like people make too big a deal of that?
I think whenever we talk about being plant-based or vegan and nutrition, I think it's really important to recognise here that the American and the British Dietetic Association, who are the largest bodies of nutrition and diet in both countries, have categorically stated that a plant-based vegan diet is nutritionally adequate and safe for all stages of life. And while I think that, you know, B12 does rightly get raised, because I think, you know, everyone should be making sure they get enough B12 in their diet. So yeah, vegans should be eating B12 enriched foods and perhaps be taking supplements if they need to.
Mm.
But I think it's important to recognise that B12 isn't just this vegan issue that it's often painted out to be.
Mm.
So we're seeing that animals and animal agriculture are actually being given B12 supplements because of the way that we wash our crops and the pesticides that we use. And even some studies are finding that about 40% of people are low in B12. So while I do 100% advocate B12, you know, B12 supplements and enriched foods, I think that we need to look at this more than just as a vegan issue and as an just a general nutrition issue. And as for iron, I think that, you know, the point here is that the difference with iron is that, you know, even though iron is found in things like legumes, lentils, tofu, chickpeas, collard greens, nuts, seeds, grains, spinach, kale, all these other things, it's just important that we maximize the absorption by eating lots of foods that are rich in vitamin C. So I think that as long as you're kind of eating a balanced, healthy diet, I think that you shouldn't have an issue.
The point of view that we sort of wanted to just, again, I said this earlier, we wanted to kind of focus it from a running point of view, but it's sure. Obviously a much broader topic, and the choice of a vegan diet has been very much used as a sort of as a way of solving a few issues environmentally or and those sorts of. Do you think that the notion that a vegan diet will solve all of these problems is a fair one, or do you think it's equally responsible for, you know, sensible farming and all those sorts of things?
So I think, again, when you look at the science and the studies, they show us that animal agriculture is responsible for about 18% of greenhouse gas emissions. Mm. They also show us that animal agriculture is the leading cause of species extinction, ocean dead zones, water pollution and habitat destruction. And the most comprehensive study ever undertaken that looked at the correlation between what is on our plate and its effect on the environment was done so by Oxford University, and it concluded that the vegan plant-based diet was the single most effective way an individual could reduce their impact on the environment. And since then, the UN has also ratified the study. And I think if you just look at the science, it's heavily stacked in favor of a vegan lifestyle. And I think more and more people are coming around to that way of thinking. You know, I welcome that, you know, the surveys that are saying that half of adults in the UK want to significantly reduce their meat, because that's great news. Because, you know, again, we're seeing these studies, like there was one in The Economist the other day that said that if we went plant-based for 2/3 of meals, it would cut our food-related emissions by about 60%. And then going fully plant-based could cut those emissions down by 85%. So, you know, it is a huge thing that we could do as individuals to just reduce our impact on the environment.
Definitely. I think the moral case for veganism is really, really strong, I think, and compelling. I think a lot of people would agree with you on that. One of the interesting things about a documentary like Game Changers, which I appreciate is only one documentary about veganism, but it kind of makes the case, the performance, the kind of athletic case for veganism. Mm. I just think from a running perspective, if we look at... Let's look at some elite runners. So obviously there are elite vegan runners. Absolutely there are. But there are a lot of elite runners, including the East African runners who you know, drink loads of milk, actually, who aren't vegan. And I guess my issue to a certain extent with something like Game Changers was it kind of positioned the vegan diet as the ultimate performance diet.
Sure.
Do you think that really, you know, stands up to scrutiny?
I think one of the things I want to say about Game Changers here is that it is rigorously fact-checked, and all the studies that are cited are peer-reviewed, and it does get a lot of flack for being unbalanced. Mm. But I think that if you take it on what it is, and I think the Game Changers is designed, was created to show that there is another way.
Yeah.
I think that we've been told for a very long time to have protein, to be fast, to be strong, we need to eat meat. And I think that the film uses a lot of scientific and medical studies that suggest that actually a plant-based diet might help reduce inflammation, it might help aid recovery. And when you look at the athletes that have gone into a plant-based diet, like Novak Djokovic, he said that the reason he went vegan was because he felt that it was helping his performance and it was helping his recovery time. It's one of those where, you know, a lot of research papers and studies, they have a relatively limited ability to make people kind of change their lifestyles or sometimes their opinions about what veganism is. But I think seeing ultramarathoners like Scott Jurek or, you know, British distance runner Fiona Oakes, you know, these guys go out there and they perform these incredible feats. Mm. And they do it whilst living on a vegan diet. So I'm not saying it's a magic wand that it's going to make you faster, that it's going to make you stronger, but it's just about showing that there's another way of doing things.
Yeah.
And maybe in the future, you know, more athletes will try the plant-based diet who knows? I mean, I can hope.
Tom, if anyone wants to know any more about Vegan Runners, where should they go?
Yeah, so Vegan Runners, we're a UK-wide running club. We are really inclusive. We've got runners that can run a 5K in 15 minutes, and we've got runners that can run a 5K slightly more time than that. But, you know, we're a welcoming, friendly club, and you can check us out on Facebook. We've also got the Vegan Runners UK website as well. And we're always, you know, out for looking for new members, helping people on their journey to become vegan and plant-based.
Tom, thank you so much for coming on the Runner's World podcast. Great to get your perspective on things, and best of luck with all your running in the future.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much for having
Cheers,
me.
Cheers, thanks a lot. It. Cheers, Tom. Thank you.
Cheers, guys. Ta-da. Yeah. Bye-bye.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. A big thanks to our guests, John Carroll and Tom Budgeon, and to you, of course, for listening.
The Runner's World podcast was recorded at Number 8 Studios in Soho and is available on Acast, iTunes and all of your favourite podcast apps. If you've enjoyed the episode, please give us a review and remember to tune in next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.